Hi, I'm Alicia Terry, and welcome to What's the Word, where we believe your spiritual growth is an important journey that should not be taken alone. The good news is, you're not alone. What's the Word comes alongside you to examine a single word taken from the Bible to help you understand both more clearly. With each episode, our goal is to help you strengthen your spiritual growth and development by learning new ways to study and understand what the Bible actually says so you can accurately comprehend the Word of God and be transformed by it. And we do this together, one word at a time. Let's get started. I'm your host, Alicia Terry, and this is What's the Word? And the word for this episode is grateful. My guest today is Heather Robinson, the wife of Minister Christopher Robinson and the driving force behind Anointed to Write LLC, a publishing company headquartered in Exton, Pennsylvania. As the youngest of nine siblings, Heather's early life was marked by the loss of both parents, fostering a spirit of self-sufficiency that would define her journey. Her academic prowess includes a bachelor's degree in African American Studies from Temple University, a master's in early childhood education from Grand Canyon University, and 15 postgraduate credits in education from Gwinnett Mercy College. Fueled by a passion for teaching and a desire to empower the introverted, Heather's journey took a profound turn with the loss of her two sisters in 2021 and 2022. Amid these personal challenges is when Heather courageously founded Anointed to Write, propelled by a mission to inspire others to reclaim their power, rediscover their voices, and embrace their destinies. Through pain, advocating for the importance of every voice, leaving a lasting impact on those who may feel overlooked and undervalued. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
The first question that I actually have for you, why did you choose grateful?
It's so loaded. Gratitude and gratefulness, I feel like those are things that I just started actually really tapping into. You know how when you're a kid, you kind of only know what you know. It's the same thing for adults, but you're so innocent, people excuse you for not knowing certain things. But then you grow up, and I feel like one of the things that we are not excused from is gratitude or gratefulness specifically to God. Because if it had not been for the Lord, I probably would have been out of here a long time ago. And so I can't help but to pick gratitude. Like, gratefulness jumped out at me. It was a nice list, but that jumped out. And because of where I am now in my walk, I'm grateful for the air that I breathe. I'm grateful for the ability to wake up in the morning because somebody
absolutely
didn't wake up. So
absolutely,
from the smallest to the largest of blessings, I'm grateful.
Prior to this podcast and any studying that you may have done prior to, what was your interpretation or definition of gratitude or grateful? Excuse me.
So, very simplistic, deep appreciation.
Okay.
Deep is very deep, but that's just simplistic when you think of a meaning.
I kept asking myself, what is it? And as far as how have I been living it in my life, or the way that I'm thinking about it prior to, it was, you know, the aspect of thankfulness and appreciation is what came to mind. Now, I will say what I was very surprised about, which I think is a teaching moment. I didn't find grateful in the Bible except one time, and that was in the ESV, just the actual word, the English word grateful. And it shocked me because in my mind, I was thinking, oh, grateful is all over the place in the Bible, the actual word. But until I studied and realized, oh, you know, we say grateful all the time. It's a synonym of thanksgiving, appreciation. It was just an eye-opener that at first I really had a hard time finding the word. But then there's so many words that to a certain degree mean the same word. So it was a learning moment for me.
So if you look up outside of English, I looked up the Greek word, I can't pronounce it, it means good.
Oh, very good.
At its core, like gratefulness or gratitude or great is synonymous with good, right? Mm-hmm. We sing the song, God is great, greatly to be praised. Or when we were a kid, we were taught, God is good, God is great. And we thank you for our food. So it just kind of goes back to that innocence as a child with these words, right? So I went a little further. I can't pronounce it, but it is a word. It's spelled very weirdly, but I feel like sometimes these words are not in the English translation of the Bible. But when you look at like the Hebrew, or if you start looking at different dialects and languages, if you will, you find the word differently.
Right. And it really expands your thinking of something. For instance, I just got finished reading a book. I was doing a study with a friend, The Awe of God by John Bevere. And so there was a scripture in there that said something along the lines of God reveals his secrets, or God gives his secrets to, and then it goes on. And so just my thought of what that English word meant, but he said that, I believe it's the Greek version of the word spelled S-O-D with these funny markings around it. And I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm just going to say sod, but it means counsel. And so that opened up that scripture big time to me, because when I hear the word counsel, a lot of different things come to mind. You know, I can go to God for guidance. You know, that's totally different than when I hear secrets. You know, so God will give me instruction. So I really love this whole aspect of going deeper and studying words individually.
I think that is such a good point, because, and I won't tarry here, but 2024 is the year of clarity. And a part of that clarity, and as we're having this conversation, I'm just like, God, I get it now. Like, he's putting people in front of me to show me, like, this is your year of clarity. So not just reading the word for reading the word's sake.
Right.
But actually going in and going deeper so that you can pick out those other words or those deeper meanings. And then you look at the scripture totally different, because there's declaration, explanation, application of the word. I can't apply that which I don't understand.
That's a good word right there.
Is I am who God says I am getting to the heart of your identity worth the read? Yesherica V. Johnson, a licensed professional counselor, thinks so. A life-changing and powerful book. First, this book had me laughing. Second, it moved me to tears. And finally, it challenged me to evaluate the health of my own identity. Alicia does an amazing job of teaching about identity using her own personal life stories, as well as those of the Bible. I highly recommend this book to anyone who feels lost in their identity and needs hope and lasting freedom. If that's you, this book is your answer. I Am Who God Says I Am is available at Amazon and with other notable booksellers. Get a copy today.
I think about the story where it was the 10 lepers, and how they were walking and they met Jesus, and from a distance, they wanted help. And so Jesus just said, go show yourselves to the council. It was on their way as they went in obedience to do what Jesus said that they were healed, but only one came back. And one really showed thankfulness and praised God for the healing, and that person was made whole. The others were healed, but this one was made whole. It just, I think, is a great example of having a spirit of gratitude.
The scripture that I actually chose was Psalms 34:8. And I chose that because looking up the word and seeing good made me go to a good So it says, oh, taste and see. And I added in, or try and experience. Taste is to try. See is to experience, right? And so, oh, taste and see, or try and experience, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So you look at taking refuge in something. You find safety in something, right? And so it makes me think of just that safe place. We all need a safe place, right? We always look for a safe place. Children look for it in their parents. A lot of times people grow up and then we want a spouse for that safe place. But there's a safe place that you can only get to through the Lord. And so when I think about a safe place, there are different levels to it. But mm-hmm. The safest place is in the Lord. So when you're looking for that place of refuge or that place of rest, or if you're looking for strength where you're weak,
yeah,
it's in the Lord. So all of that goes back to the gratefulness and the gratitude to God for, like you said, for the grace of God. There go I lost a sister that was 50 to an asthma attack. I lost a sister that was 48 to cancer. I carried that cancer dream. For the grace of God, there go I. I wasn't supposed to make it out the womb, but I outlived the two of them. For the grace of God, there go I. So I'm grateful in knowing that God makes no mistakes, and we will not leave here until what we are supposed to do is done. Their race was ran. And so they're done. I'm still here because there's still more for me to do. That's the gratitude. That's the gratefulness. That's oh, taste and see, or try him out. You know, just give God a try. Just try him.
Right.
And you hear a lot of people say that. And we teach the what, but we don't teach the how to. The practicalness of the what. We can tell people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Make sure you do this, make sure you do that, make sure you do that. That's great. But this generation wants the how-to.
Yeah.
And so we got to be really clear on our messaging and how we are presenting God and his word to the people. And you don't have to be in the pulpit to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can see your conviction on this. I just want to stay there for a second for the sake of time.
We feel like when we go through things, we're the only ones that have ever gone through it, or we're the only ones that have ever gone through something. We all have our own cross to bear, but I got to walk out my own salvation with fear and trembling. So I can't always be worried about what this one didn't do, how this one didn't show up for me, the disappointment of this one. This is the conviction, because that's what it was before 2024. And we're only 9 days in. But it was always, this one didn't show up for me. This one didn't show up for me. God didn't create you to do that. God created you for the perfect plan and purpose he has for your life. And that's what you got to walk out. You can't allow distractions. Disappointments are distractions. Losses are distractions. Just be transparent. You can't allow those things to stop you. Yeah, you got to sit in it, but you can't stay there. You got to get up. And the only way you're going to live out the life that you're supposed to live out, have the blessings that God has for you. And it's not always about material things. Peace of mind is a blessing.
Yes, it is.
That's a blessing. Okay.
It is.
Having a place of refuge is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, If you're doing what you're supposed to do, everything else will follow. I lost my dad at 15, 2 months before my 16th birthday, right around Thanksgiving. I don't have a natural father, but I got a heavenly father.
Absolutely.
That is my refuge. That's my safe place to fall. And I know that I can land in his arms. If I need to cry, he's there to wipe my tears. If I need to vent, he's there to listen. If I'm upset with him, he's like, it's all right, you upset. You gonna get over it. We're taught that we can't have all these feelings, but yes, you can. Because that's your daddy. That's your daddy.
Yeah.
And so things that that's he's good. Carrying you through, the only reason you were able to sit there and watch your mother take her last breath is because the Lord carried you through that. That's not something you can do in your own power and your own strength.
Absolutely.
So we talk about this word grateful.
Yes.
That's why it's so important. That's why it pops out. And that's why it's important to do a deep dive in the study on gratefulness, because we got to get back to that.
What would you say to your younger self regarding grateful that you know now, but you didn't know then?
At 15, when I became fatherless, parentless, rather, my aunt and uncle took me and a sister in. I'm the youngest of nine. There's seven of us left. There's one sister left. She's 3 years older than I am. So by the time we became parentless, I was the only minor. So we go over there and, you know, a lot of times as a kid, you don't understand stuff. And you're like either very judgmental or you're very introverted. And so I was very introverted in the beginning because it was a huge change for me. It wasn't just you lost your dad. You had to leave the home that you knew. And so everything changed. You had to learn a new norm. And it wasn't just for us, but I look at a cousin who went from being in the house with his parents, just the three of them, to now having to share his parents. Because that's ultimately what he had to do. Looking at the adults who had to figure out, how do we raise girls when all we raised was boys? Wow. Now we got to rearrange our budget because we're going to be using more water, more electricity, eating more food, right? Driving more places to get them from point A to point B. So there's a lot of things as an adult looking back, I can say, if I knew then what I know now, I might have responded differently instead of reacting. Because even though I was mourning, it wasn't their fault. And right. There's no manual of how do you deal with a kid that lost not one, but two parents. There's no manual for that. And people could say, oh, well, they should have sent you to counseling. Well, maybe they didn't know. It's a black family, right? It used to be taboo to talk about counseling.
Exactly. Right.
And so there's that too. You have some families that are like, you don't need counseling. You got Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell y'all, you got Jesus, but Jesus created counselors for us. If we didn't need counselors, he wouldn't have created them.
Exactly.
How different would your life be if you could identify and address the source of your false identity or discover how the love of a righteous king is not moved by your imperfections? How would letting go of the negative names and labels you've been branded with change your life? Why don't you find out by picking up a copy of Alicia Terry's book, I Am Who God Says I Am, Getting to the Heart of Your Identity. Whether you read it by yourself or in a group, the discussion questions in the book will help you discover and become the person God always intended you to be. I Am Who God Says I Am is available wherever fine books are sold.
So therapy's okay. If you need help, get you some help. You need somebody to talk to? Talk. Don't sit there and stay in it and start harboring these feelings and then getting sick. Because grief leads to sickness a lot of times.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And to avoid that, you gotta deal to heal. You know, I have to tell your business to tell your testimony. I gave you my testimony. I didn't tell you my business.
You said something that I think most people probably would miss. So I would like to go back to it because you said something that's very powerful. And you said if you would have responded instead of reacted, can you explain what you mean by that?
Reactions are not thought out. It's like something happens to you. It's almost like somebody slap you and you automatically slap them back. Right. Mm-hmm. It's a reaction. We call that a knee-jerk reaction. But that's what reactions are. It's based off of emotion. Oh, so-and-so going to talk to me like that. I'm going to show them, you can't talk to me like that. I'm tough. I'm this, I'm that. Like you got to prove yourself to someone else. when ultimately you're trying to prove yourself to yourself because you don't know who you are. When you're able to respond, you're able to take a step back, take a couple of breaths, and actually take in what has happened to decide how you want to handle the situation. So that's the difference between a reaction versus a response. And a lot of times as adults, we react because we never were taught how to respond.
I think that that was worth us talking about for a moment, even though it didn't directly relate to gratitude or gratefulness. It's still an important thing to share.
But it does, because if you take a step back on what has happened to you, right? So if I take a step back on thinking about losing two sisters back to back, literally was like 1 year, 1 year, 3 months, and 5 days.
Wow.
The reaction would have been to curse God.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
The response is, she's no longer suffering. And I prayed to God that she wouldn't die by herself. And he honored that. I'm grateful.
So good. That is so good.
I'm grateful for the life that she did live, regardless of what her struggles were. I'm grateful for her heart that she had. I'm grateful for the level of compassion she showed to everybody. I can say to my about my other sister, she died at 50, but I'm grateful for the evangelist heart she had. No, she didn't have the title evangelist, but she moved like an evangelist.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for her heart. I'm grateful for the fact that she was able to reconcile with her children before she left here. I'm grateful that God honors his word. That's gratitude.
That's good.
You can find That's it everywhere.
Good. You know, one of the things that I regretted that I didn't do when my mother was transitioning over the last couple of months before she went on, was there were so many different things that I recognized where God was, because I was seeing God everywhere. And they were things to be grateful for, but I didn't write them down. Oh my and God.
I love Priscilla Shira. And one thing she said was, I don't journal every day, but throughout my children's growing up, when I saw the fingertip of God in their life, I wrote it down in a journal. And then when they grew up and got married, she gave this is for the one, this is for you when you get married. This is for you when you get married. So that's there's going to be her son's wedding gifts from her to get married. And it's also for their wives, because it shows the wives a part of them that they are not really clear on, because their mother was the one that was writing down those moments. And it's so interesting, because if you write down those moments and you recall those moments and you write them down, you can look back over them when you feel like I'm at my lowest point. Because the flip side of being at your lowest point is that it's only up from here. That's the gratitude.
That's powerful. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I needed this. So I'm so grateful that you agreed to come on and share your wisdom and insight with me and with the audience that will listen to it. And I hope in the future you will come back. Is there anything else you would like to share or offer to the audience before we go?
For those of you that are, you may be struggling with the fact that you came into the new year and you didn't have what you thought you were going to have. A lot of us have these plans for our lives. I want to be here by this age. I want to have this by this age. I want to have this. You might not be where you think you should be, but you're right where God wants you to be. And if you need a reminder of that, I actually have 3 books. My books are $10 a piece. The first one is A Season of Pressing, A Spiritual Awakening. This was the very first book I ever wrote, and it's my journey through God's word while I was going through. So it's bits and pieces. It talks about who am I, why am I here, where am I going? I learned that from my old pastor, Pastor Ray McKeithen. Bear ye one another's burdens, Family Ministry Church in Philadelphia. That's a plug. The second one, Words of Reflection, a 30-day devotional unto the Lord. When I had my surgery in 2021, a month after losing my sister, I had a major surgery. And the Lord told me, you're going to write a devotional. And I was like, what? A devotional. Now, a year before that, I would send out thought for today. And it was my thought and it was a scripture. And so he told me, turn it into a devotional. That's where that came from. And in this devotional, there's a space for you to write notes. You talked about transparency. So wholeness from brokenness. Will you be made whole? In my opinion, it takes a lifetime to get to wholeness. People like to say, I'm whole, I'm whole. You don't get whole on your own. You get whole through Jesus, right? And so this book tells a lot of my story. It talks about a lot of things that I've been through, from dealing with a fibroid surgery, infertility, losing my parents, going through divorce, losing everything, losing my sisters, starting a business. There's a lot of different things in here. And I didn't want to put this book out. My husband actually encouraged me to. And one thing that stands out to me is that we're overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so I have to share my testimony, because we don't go through what we go through for ourselves. We just selfishly think that. We are right. Vessels that are utilized to go through certain things to help someone else get through to the other side. And so
I like that.
There's not much that is not out about my experiences. I just don't tell my business. There's a difference. So if you're looking for inspirational reads, I have those. I'm on Linktree at Anointed the Number 2 Right LLC. Again, that's Anointed the Number 2 Right LLC. And if you're looking for someone to help you go from trying to figure out what to do and how to share your story, I can help you go from having an idea in your head to a published piece that you can be proud of. And I will show you how to get to ownership in the process.
Thank you so much for listening to What's the Word. If this episode has encouraged or helped you in any way, would you please consider sharing the podcast with those in your circle of influence? I appreciate your support. Well, that's it for now. I'm Alicia Terry, and this is What's the Word. Until next time, thank you for listening.